Thanks for checking out the Candeo podcast. To learn more about us, visit us at CandeoChurch.com.
Good morning, Candeo Church. How are we doing? Good. I'm a little sick this morning, as is just about everyone who went to fall retreat, so I'll try not to cough too much into the mic. But I'm excited for this passage, and I'm excited for what Paul has for us this morning. And what he's going to talk about, our passage is going to lead us into this morning, is the topic of wisdom. And I want to start by asking a question to you personally. What are the guiding principles that you live by? Like, we're all going through the same life, right? We're all looking for guidance through this life on how to live and what is right and what is wrong and how do I make decisions. We're all looking to those guiding principles or proverbs or mottos that we live by. Maybe another way of asking this is, what are the phrases that maybe show up on your coffee mugs or on your Facebook timelines or on your screensavers or that you write on your mirror? What are the guiding principles that you live your life by? Right? They're all over the place. Like, we hear so many different guiding principles. Here's a few of them. Maybe you've heard this: follow your heart. Follow your heart. It's the main message of every Disney movie to ever exist, isn't it? Whether it's The Little Mermaid, where Ariel follows her heart by pursuing her dream of living on land and embracing her true identity despite her father's disapproval, or in Ratatouille, fantastic movie, where Remy the rat dreams of becoming a chef, right? A desire that contradicts his family's expectations, a desire that contradicts his own kind of the nature of his species. But he follows his heart that anyone can cook if they put their mind to it, right? And he does it, right? And if you can like figure out how to control someone with your hair, I don't get how that works, but follow your heart. Here's another one. Do what makes you happy. Just do what makes you happy in life. You only live once, right? So ignore the haters. You know, stop thinking about what makes everyone else happy and just do what makes you happy. Life is short. Do what you love. Or how about this? God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. So keep going in the midst of suffering. I don't know about you guys, but for me, this is like usually accompanied on my like Instagram timeline with like some jack dude just lifting unreal amounts of weight. Just God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. They must think that I lift weights. I don't, but here's another one. Surround yourself with people who lift you up, not bring you down. Maybe you've heard these phrases. Not everyone deserves a seat at your table. Sometimes you have to disconnect to reconnect with yourself. Surround yourself with those who see the greatness within you. Or in the words of the famous philosopher and poet Kelly Clarkson, since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. It's hard not to sing that, I'll be honest. Guys, you add it all up. Right, it seems like some good life advice, doesn't it? Guiding principles that should walk us through life. Follow your heart. Do what makes you happy. Keep going because God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. Surround yourselves with people who lift you up, not bring you down. Like if you, it doesn't sound like anything, you know, too bad. These are guiding principles that we live by life by. Maybe you, like, these are some of your personal mottos. But what if I told you that none of these guiding principles actually reflect the wisdom of God? In fact, when we look at our Bibles, the wisdom that God offers is oftentimes the complete opposite of this wisdom and the wisdom of the world. So I'm gonna go back through these. Let me show you. So the world says, follow your heart. Okay, sounds good. Follow your heart. Yeah, we should follow our heart. But what do we do with Jeremiah 17:9? So that it says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else. Right, that oftentimes our heart's desires, they can't be trusted. Right, the world says to listen to your heart, but the Bible tells us that our emotions, our feelings, sometimes they'll lead us astray. They deceive us, lead us to sin. The world says, do what makes you happy. Sounds good, right? I can get behind that. But what do we do with Jesus' words in Matthew 16? It says, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Right? Jesus doesn't say, just stop focusing on everyone else. Just focus on you. Do what makes you happy. He says to deny yourself, to deny earthly pleasures. Pick up your cross and follow me. Right? The world says God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. But in 2 Corinthians 12, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in weakness. Right? The world says what matters is your strength. But Jesus says in the midst of suffering, the whole point is not our strength, but his. Right, that Jesus' power and grace is perfected in our weakness, which leads Paul later on to say, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The world says, surround yourself with people who lift you up, not bring you down. I think there's probably some valuable wisdom in that. Like, community is important. But what do we do with the words of Jesus at the same time? Matthew 5, it says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. See, Paul has a warning for us this morning that when it comes to the wisdom of this world, we can be so easily deceived by this world and we can deceive ourselves to look at the wisdom of the world to tell us how to live, to determine what's right and what's wrong. Right? We see these mottos, these phrases around us every day. Right? They're surrounded us in podcasts and in books and coffee mugs and social media. We're constantly being influenced and it shapes the way that we live and the way that we make decisions and the way that we spend our money and how we treat one another and everything else. What Paul has to say is that so much of what the world has to say is not true wisdom, it is deception. And so this morning we're gonna talk about true wisdom, and here's what we're gonna see. Is that we are easily deceived by the wisdom of this world. But God defines true wisdom, and embracing God's wisdom will reshape how we live. Okay, we're gonna go through that sentence. I'm gonna start with the first part. We're easily deceived by the wisdom of this world. Look at verse 18. Paul says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone amongst you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he can become wise. Remember that Paul, he's writing to the Corinthians. Why? Because there were divisions that were forming among them. Some were saying, I follow Paul. Some, I follow Cephas. Some, I follow Apollos. And there were these factions growing among them, and the Corinthian church was doing the same thing that we do all the time, right? They were elevating certain people and certain figures and certain agendas and earthly wisdom over one another to compete. And what they were really doing is they were desiring to be wise by association. See that? I follow this person. I follow this person. We do the exact same thing. I think of politics where we say, I follow this candidate or I follow this candidate. I think of podcasts and influencers. Well, I'm a disciple of this podcaster. I listen to them all the time. I'm a disciple of this influencer, right? Even in the church. I like this pastor. I associate with this one. We're all desperate for wisdom, or at least to feel wise. And so we're looking to all these different people, these peoples and ideas, trying to associate ourselves with them so that we might feel and appear more wise. But here's the problem. Here's the thing about the world's wisdom. It's always changing. It's always changing. Notice what Paul says. He says, if anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age. So there's the first part of that, where we're deceived. Anyone thinks he's wise, but he's not actually wise. But then there's the wise in this age part. The type of wisdom they're pursuing, it isn't a timeless form of wisdom, but just a wisdom associated with a certain, a particular age. Meaning from age to age, this wisdom is always changing. It's not constant. Guys, and fast forward to today, right? We live in a time when the wisdom of this age is shifting more frequently than ever. Jake Herring's doing a class on gender and sexuality for our college students, and it is an amazing class. And the first class I sat in, and here's something I learned. He was asking some survey questions. And one of the questions was, what year do you think California banned same-sex marriage, right? I automatically go, I'm like, that had to have been pretty long ago. The answer, 2008. That's right, they banned same-sex marriage. 2013, it was reversed back, right? Now California is one of the most progressive states when it comes to gender and sexuality. Here's another one. What presidential candidate, when asked, do you support gay marriage? Answer, no, I do not support redefining from a civil side what constitutes marriage. Answer, Joe Biden. Right, and now he is on the other side as well. Right, it's the same on the Republican side of things. It wasn't that long ago that the Republican stance on marijuana was that possession of marijuana should lead to jail time. Right now, some of the most predominant conservative figures are the biggest proponents of marijuana and other drugs. Here's the point. The wisdom of this age, it's always changing. But in our pride, we are totally convinced that this thing that I currently believe right now is absolutely the right thing, and we attach ourselves to it and we fight for it like it's a universal and timeless and undeniable truth. We're so easily deceived, right? Not just by other influences, but by ourselves and our own pride. We like to feel wise. We want to feel like we're right when we're not. And the call that Paul is giving is that if we truly want to become wise, then first, we need to become fools. Meaning, if we want to become wise, we need to reject the world's offer of wisdom as the ultimate source of wisdom, and in doing so, become fools in the eyes of the world. And in becoming a fool in the eyes of the world and instead clinging to the wisdom of God, that is where we will find real wisdom. Because we are easily deceived by the wisdom of this world. But here's the second point. But God defines true wisdom. But God defines true wisdom. Look at verse 19. It says, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Since it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the reasonings of the wise are futile. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Right? You can flip that around too and say the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. Like Paul's already made that point in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, for the word of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. Right? So you have two views on wisdom. The view of God that says his wisdom is real wisdom and the wisdom of the world is foolish. And the view of the world that says God's wisdom is foolish and their wisdom is real wisdom. So who do you believe? Right? Because we spend so much time debating one another and taking sides. But maybe this is the real choice I have to make. Which side am I on? Do I believe that God's wisdom is true wisdom or what the world has to say? Right? And maybe when we lay it out like that, the answer becomes more clear. But we're so easily deceived into choosing the wisdom of this world over the wisdom of God, especially when we don't like what the wisdom of God has to say about something that we want to do, something we prefer, what the world has to say. Right? We want to determine what wisdom is. But listen, doesn't it make sense that if God is the creator of the world, then he knows how his world works best? Right, that he constitutes what is the right way of living and what's not, what's true wisdom and what isn't. One of my side hobbies, I got into it during COVID. I'd never played it before, but I got into chess during COVID. I love to play chess. Anybody play chess out there? A few of you? Okay, let's go. Find me. We'll play. One of the beautiful things about the game of chess is how balanced it is. Okay, it's super balanced. That two of the best opponents of the world, in the world, can go head to head. And in this game, there aren't any wild cards, right? There's nothing left up to chance. It's purely two intellects going head to head. And it's amazing. Guys, sometimes I will watch chess on TV. That's right. And it fires me up. I love it. I like standing up, like if it's the right time controls and whatever. Anyways, it's awesome. I'm a nerd. I get it. And what makes it so balanced, what makes it so exciting, what makes it so balanced is that there are rules in place, right? And each piece is designed with just the right amount of power to make it a fair battle, right? You know the moves, the pawns can move forward and attack diagonally. The rooks can move horizontally and vertically, right? The knights can move in an L pattern and so on. Yet, when you try and play chess with a little kid, right, or any game for that matter, what happens? All of the rules go out the door, right? They're mid-game, you're playing chess, then all of a sudden they want to switch to checkers. Or all of a sudden their horse now is a unicorn and shoots laser beams at your king, right? And it ruins the game because that's not the way it was designed to be played. Guys, in the same way, God is the creator and the designer of our world. And he has intricately and purposefully designed every detail in it. And he alone gets to determine how his world works, what is true wisdom and what isn't. And yet oftentimes in our pride, we think we can write better rules than God. But God's wisdom is always true wisdom. And all other worldly wisdom will prove to be false wisdom. Did you catch that? We don't just have to take God's word for it. The wisdom of this world will be exposed. Paul appeals to two Old Testament passages. First, Job 5 says, he frustrates the schemes of the crafty so that they achieve no success. He traps the wise in their craftiness so that the plans of the deceptive are quickly brought to an end. Right, it's often those who think that they're the wisest, who think they have the most wisdom, that have the hardest falls. Right? How many Netflix documentaries do we have to watch of the great rise and falls of different figures who had a really great idea but didn't mind breaking a few rules along the way, and then in the end, in their greed, in their pride, in their lust, it leads to their downfall. Right? Because the wisdom that they followed was not God's wisdom. They were deceived. And second, we see Psalm 94, where it says, the Lord knows the thoughts of mankind. They are futile. They don't work. We're easily deceived by the wisdom of this world, but God defines true wisdom, right? As the creator, he has the authority, and his way is best, and it will actually lead to our flourishing. And here's the third part of this sentence. And embracing God's wisdom should reshape how we live. Should reshape how we live. Look at verse 21. Here's Paul's charge to them. He says, so let no one boast in human leaders, for everything is yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, everything is yours. And you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. See, Paul here, he speaks directly to the primary issue that he's been addressing. And he issues them in action. Don't boast in human leaders. Don't boast in Paul or Apollos or Cephas or any worldly leader. But as 1 Corinthians 1 says, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Direct your boast towards the right place. Right, that's the action that he calls them to. But then Paul drops the wisdom of God on them that informs this action. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, guys, you've been deceived into believing that wisdom, true wisdom, comes from man. You've attached your allegiance to man and not God. And in doing so, you failed to understand critical things about your new reality in Christ. And what you have failed to understand is that now in Christ, everything is yours. Then he lists out what he means. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, in the past, you viewed them from a worldly perspective as competing figures, needing to separate them. But God, in his wisdom, sees them as builders of the same building, his church. That's how God views them. And then he's saying, and don't forget your new reality. that the Lord has given you all the new status you need over the world and life and death, right? In the eternity that awaits you, everything is yours. You are rich in Christ. See, they were operating in a scarcity mindset. Right, you see that? They were operating in a scarcity mindset before that forced them to look at and associate with worldly leaders for purpose and wisdom. But in God's wisdom, what Paul is trying to remind them of is they don't need to look here for wisdom and go beg over here for wisdom, but they are already rich in Christ. They don't have to operate in a scarcity mindset that feels the need to attach myself to certain people, but they can operate in an abundance mindset. Right, this is ultimately made clear in that last huge statement where Paul makes, where he finishes by telling them that everything is yours and you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. This is where true wisdom is found. That you don't belong to Paul or Apollos or Cephas, but you belong to Christ. You belong to the one who belongs to God, who Jesus, being no less than the Father, in his obedience, completed the Father's rescue mission when he went to the cross to bring you out of death and to give you life in abundance. And Paul is saying, if you see that clearly, that you will see that you are already rich in Christ. And it should begin to reshape how you live and who you look to boast in. So let's put this all together. We're easily deceived by the wisdom of this world, but God defines true wisdom. And embracing this wisdom, God's wisdom, should reshape how we live. And here's the reality, Candeo Church. If we choose to embrace this, and let God's wisdom transform and reshape how we live, you know what's gonna happen? We are going to look like absolute fools to the outside world. The choices that you make in life are gonna seem foolish in the eyes of the world. And does that make you actually a fool? Does that make you foolish? Absolutely not. Because those who become a fool, just as it says, those who become a fool in the eyes of this world become wise, truly wise in the eyes of God. And guess what? God defines what true wisdom is. And so let me ask you, what does it look like to be a fool in the eyes of the world for Christ? Last week, we had our Salt Company fall retreat. And yeah, it was amazing. Literally, our entire ministry is sick, but it was amazing. It was worth it. And I took a picture from the back of the room, just of, almost 300 students worshiping Jesus. And it was incredible what God was doing. Right, the Spirit was moving. Paul Sabino came. We were opening up the book of Jonah, looking at God's heart for Nineveh. Right, in God's heart for the nations and for all people. And God was moving and it was compelling. And at the end of the retreat, we gave a little feedback form, to an interest form. And at the end of the retreat, 16 students indicated that they are already planning on applying for one of our SALT global trips this summer. 16 students said, we're in, we're gonna apply. 79 students indicated, hey, I'm interested in going. Will you tell me more? That's 95 students who indicated that they would consider giving up a summer of internships and making money to instead go raise money to go across the country or go across the world and share the gospel for 8 weeks. Why? Because when they look at the heart of God, it compels them. They see it as true wisdom and they say, that's worth giving my life for. Do you know what the world calls that? Giving up internships and money? Foolishness. I had the opportunity to baptize my dad this summer, which was amazing. And when he shared his testimony, he talked about when I was back in college and I decided to go on my overseas trip between my junior and senior year and how frustrated he was and kind of angry he was about it. He didn't get it, right? And believe, right, that was the time I was supposed to be going and building my resume, lining up my next job. And now 8 years later, as he was sharing his testimony, he looked back on that trip and he said, God used that trip to show him that following God's path for your life is better. God revealed to him what true wisdom is, that God's wisdom is better. It's foolishness to the world, but it's wisdom to God. And so let me ask you again, what does it look like for you to be a fool for Christ? Here's what it looks like. It looks like following God's rule for sexuality. When the world says to follow your heart, but God says the heart is deceitful and not to trust it and not to follow your heart, but to trust and follow him. Foolishness to the world, wisdom to God. It looks like a bunch of college students saying no to sex and alcohol and drugs because they don't believe the lie of do whatever makes you happy. But instead, they've chosen to deny themselves, to deny their flesh, and to follow Jesus. Foolishness to the world, wisdom to God. It looks like last week in Connection Group, after a convicting message, a bunch of guys in a basement talking about how we're going to pursue the people that have hurt us and that we have hurt because we believe God when he tells us that it's better to love and pray for our enemies and pursue reconciliation. Foolishness to the world. Guys, that's not normal to the world. Wisdom to God. I was talking with someone who meets with their tax person every year, and every year the tax person is so confused as how they allocate their money and why they give so much of it away. Read every finance book out there, and it makes no sense. The amount of compound interest they are missing out on is insane if they were to save it. But Jesus says, don't store up for your treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for your treasures, yourselves treasures in heaven. Foolishness to the world, wisdom to God. It looks like doing your business with integrity in a way that makes your coworkers who are trying to climb the ladder at any means necessary scratch their heads. Foolishness to the world, wisdom to God. It looks like being more concerned with loving people than gaining influence. Foolishness to the world, wisdom to God. Looks like one of our elders not taking a promotion in another city because he's more compelled with what God is doing in and through this church. Foolishness to the world, wisdom to God. Guys, the problem is that we don't even have a category for these things in our mind. Right? When we have a big life decision, or we're trying to figure out what's right or what's wrong, we're quick to consult ourselves and what I personally think. We're quick to consult the world, but we're slow to consult the wisdom of God. I was talking to a student this last week about watching horror movies, right? And we're approaching Halloween season. I don't know if you like a good scary movie. I used to. Now I get too scared. I don't like them anymore. Specifically, we were talking about movies with demonic activity in them. And I asked him what he thought. We were some other guys and it led to some good conversation. And he told me, you know, hey, I think everything is fine in moderation, right? I think everything's fine in moderation. And it's like, don't watch too much of it and you'll be fine. Right, that sounds good. Like I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. But then we started talking about it a little bit more. And I'm not calling him out because I do this all the time, but if we think about it, where in the Bible does it say everything is good in moderation? You know, that's like a slogan we have. That's a motto we might apply to different things, but where in the Bible does it say that? Are there some principles of moderation, food and with alcohol? Yes, but what do we do with 1 Peter 5? It says, be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith. Right? We can do this all the time, whether it's catchy mottos or just my own personal take on things. Here's what I think about the situation. We're so quick to consult every piece of wisdom that the world has to offer. Does this make financial sense to me? Does this just personally make sense for me? Does this make logical sense? Does this make emotional sense? Does this make practical sense? Like I get like it's nice in theory, but does it make practical sense? Maybe the biggest question we need to start asking is not personal, emotional, practical, but a new question. Maybe we just need to start asking, does it make Jesus sense? Does it make Jesus sense? What would the wisdom of Jesus offer on this? That's what I'm most concerned about. What if that was the filter that we decided to look through everything, whether it was right or wrong? If we're trying to decide whether something is right or wrong, what if that was the filter we looked at it through? What if that was the filter that you look through to make every big decision? College student, imagine instead of asking the question, where should I move after college that I can get the best job and make the most money? Maybe let the question be, where can I move after college that I can have the biggest impact on the kingdom of God? What makes the most Jesus sense? Here's the thing, guys. In order to know what makes the most Jesus sense, we have to open up our Bibles, right? We have to open up our Bibles. We have to know what the Word of God says, what His wisdom is, right? And so that's my challenge for us, is to recognize that we're so easily deceived. And the next time you have that question about what's right or what's wrong, or you have a big decision to make in regards to your family or career or money or future, first, consult the wisdom of God. Right? Before you consult yourself and your own personal take or Google or TikTok, open up your Bible. Ask, what makes Jesus sense? Guys, I'm not saying the world doesn't have anything of value to say, and sometimes it will line up with what the Bible has to say, but a lot of times it'll call us to something radically different. But we have the wisdom of God at our fingertips, and His wisdom is true wisdom. Candeo Church, imagine if we truly embrace the wisdom of God, right? In a world that's operating from a scarcity mindset, constantly shifting with the times, looking to different people and figures for answers. Imagine if we operated in an abundance mindset, where the biggest thing we found confidence in this world was not earthly wisdom or worldly leaders and influencers, but the fact that we belong to Christ. And as a result of that, everything is ours. We have everything we need. God has given us each other, the church, all working together for His glory. He's given us His mission, and He's invited us personally into it. He's given us new life and eternal life. And He's given us the wisdom of God to live the life that He designed for us. His wisdom, His life for us. And we can be content in that. That's all that we need. Imagine if we truly embraced this. Imagine if we loved people like Jesus loved us. That would look like foolishness to the world. Imagine if we forgave our enemies as Jesus forgave us. When the world says to discard your enemies, don't have anything to do with them. Imagine if we gave of our money and resources in a way that makes a financial planner scratch their head, because God has called us to do so. Imagine if every decision that we made, the first thing we ask is what makes the most Jesus sense. Imagine if we let the wisdom of God shape our marriages, in the way we do business, in the way we treat one another. Imagine if we truly embrace this. Do you know what would happen? The first thing that would happen is we would look like absolute fools to the Cedar Valley. The biggest fools. It would make no sense to them why we're acting this way. And yet in becoming fools in the eyes of the world, we would become wise in the eyes of God. And not only is this the better life, but in doing so, maybe the way that we would live would begin to show our neighbors and show our city that the wisdom of this world that they're following is futile, always changing. And they begin to wonder what we have. And like the Spirit of God moved in my dad, maybe the Spirit would move in them. And they might ask, why is it that you live like that when the world says to live like this? And we can just point them to Jesus and the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, we admit to you that we're easily deceived. And we deceive ourselves, Lord. In our pride, we think we know what's better. But God, we pray that this morning, just as Paul reminded the Corinthian church, Lord, you would remind us of our new reality in Christ. Lord, that we belong to Christ. And everything is ours, and we are rich in Christ, Lord, and you've given us a better way of living. God, would you show it to us? Would you reveal to our sinful hearts, Lord, the better way, the wisdom of God? Lord, and would you help it to reshape every aspect of our life, Lord? Would we leave no aspects of our lives untouched? Would you reshape our lives? Would you align our lives with your way, your wisdom, your truth, the better way? And God, in that, would you make us a distinct people, a set apart people, a holy people to a watching world? God, and would you move in and through that and show it to be compelling to our neighbors? Where they might look at that and see you. And see what you've done for us so that we can now enter into your wisdom. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
This has been a message from Candeo Church. To learn more about us or to hear more messages, visit us at candeochurch.com.